worship you, magnify you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you. Thank you. Praise you. Praise God. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. So just give him praise one more time. We thank you and praise you, Father. We thank you and praise you, Father. We magnify you. We glorify you. Have your way. Have your way in this place. We ask that utterance be given with boldness, that the word of the Lord has free course. In the name of Jesus, your plan and your purpose for this service, we say it all comes to pass. All comes to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You are in the right place this morning. You will not regret getting up out of bed and coming to church to hear the word of God. It's life. The word is alive. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Well, praise God. Go ahead and have a seat. Greet your neighbors as you're being seated. Again, if anybody came in late, Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie are in California celebrating Pastor Nancy's birthday, which we did here at Gem, but they're having a celebration out there, and so we're so glad that they can go and bring their supply to their pastor. That's what we want. We want, when they honor their pastor, it brings a supply back to us. It brings a supply to, it blesses Pastor Nancy. She was so blessed when she was here. But the blessings just keep on rolling in. Because it says, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. So, but Pastor has asked me to stand in for him. And so I got something for you today. Actually, more than enough. Because once you start, it just keeps growing. But I want to share from my heart. I want to share some things that have been rolling around in my spirit and just share with you some things that I think will help you. But there's been three words that have really been coming up before me. And the first one is joy. Joy. The second one is, well, they're not in any specific order, consecration. And the third one is fellowship. And they all go together. And I haven't really talked to anybody about this, maybe one person, but the blogs that Pastor has been putting out, they are just, they've just ministered to me. And if you've missed a few, or maybe you haven't even started, I would truly encourage you to go back. And, you know, I'm trying to use it as a daily devotional. You know, the blog comes out every Tuesday, and then you can just, I can't get it all in one reading. Oh, I read the blog today, I'm done. No. This is for meditation. This is manna from heaven. And he's been on fellowship. And so that's why that's been bubbling up in me. But with fellowship comes a consecration to God, to the plan of God, to setting ourselves apart, to pick it up and read it, and then go back and read it again. And there's just so much in them, I could not even begin. You know, I thought, well, the one that really stood out to me, well, for this service, is the joy of fellowship. Amen. And so we're going to start and see where this ends up. Because I don't want to just read you the blog. You can go home and do that. But consecration is, now Pastor Nancy said this, so I'm kind of weaving this in. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? Your spirit, the real you, is really interested in and what you truly desire. It is what will satisfy you. It is what will fulfill you. Because, you know, we chase after things and we've got to do this and we've got to do that. We've got to go to this place or whatever hobby we might have. Not that they're bad or wrong. But true fulfillment comes from fellowship. Setting ourselves apart to be with Him. You know, coming to church on Sunday mornings and being excited about giving our tithes and offerings. And we get to go to church and hear the word. And what's pastor going to say? What's he going to preach on? And you know that there's always a flow if you pay attention. Our greatest challenge is with the revelations coming out today, the day that we're in, this last day era, is keeping up. Is keeping up with the revelations. Keeping up. There's so much. And, you know, I got to spend really the whole day yesterday with the Lord. And, oh, my gosh, it was just like heaven, you know. So we need those times. But sometimes we look at consecration, at least the way I grew up, as a labor, as a hard thing. Oh, that means I have to give everything up that I enjoy. Seriously. Am I the only one? But that's what rung in me when she said it. The joy of consecration. Because you're really getting to do what your spirit man desires, longs for. And we're out looking for other things to fulfill what really only consecration and fellowship with God will fill. And so when she brought that out, and then we've been reading the blog, it's like, I get it. I get it. You know, we desire that. God created us for fellowship. You know, Jesus' work on the cross, it's done. He did it. He sanctified us. That work is done. Now, what's our part in it? Set ourselves apart. And I if you learn anything today, go away thinking, oh, I get to set myself apart. I don't have to live in the world. God's made another way, another plan, and it is by far better. And when we attend to that, when we attend to what Jesus did, it frees us because we get so wrapped up in our performance and our doing. All we have to do is show up and say, Lord, I understand that you made me to fellowship with you. Let's go back to Genesis 1. I'm here. I want to fellowship with you. Well, okay, so we're gonna see how we do that. Well, start with the blog. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I'm just going to read these because we're going to go somewhere. I just want you to kind of review. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous. Jesus did it. So we're all, everybody in this room who's born again is right before God. And then if we've sinned, we confess our sin and he's faithful. But we're always in right relationship with God. But fellowship is a different thing. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I used to think that was, oh good, I get to go to heaven when I die and I got to suffer until then. No. The gift of God is eternal. Listen, most people in the body of Christ don't know what we're redeemed from. They don't understand it. We are a strange and peculiar people because we've been hearing the word. We're hearing the fullness of the gospel. You know, some churches aren't even open yet, or maybe closed permanently. Romans 5:19 says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, which they received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, shall, get this, reign in life by one Christ Jesus. We reign in this world. We reign on this earth. And it begins with fellowship and consecration. And that's a joy. the fellowship of God is such a joy. And you know, I think I've been pressing into this, and it's just like you leave, you know, you go about your day and you're just full. You're full. You got something. And when you're tempted to get offended at somebody, you know what? You don't have to. I don't have to choose that. I don't have to get a hurt feeling. I don't have to be tempted to talk at the driver in front of me. That's one I have to work on. Another translation, it's a paraphrase translation. It says, if death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine? I love that. Can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, in those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything straight, everything right, that the one man, Jesus Christ, provides? Do you want that? Extravagant life gift, setting everything right. You got a clean slate.
Right.
You do.
We sure
and
do.
When you mess up, you just, Lord, forgive me. And it's gone. He doesn't remember it. But where does our part begin? Our part is to consecrate ourselves to Him. If we want more of God in our lives, and you know, I know you all do in here, you have to set some things aside. But you have to see them as things that are distracting you from really fulfilling that desire that's in your heart. What, recognize that what I truly desire isn't maybe the new car, isn't maybe whatever it might be. The hobby that you have, the sport that you participate in, they're all fine and good in their place. The business venture that you might have, that's good. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first. And the Amplified says, but seek, aim at, and strive after. Aim at and strive after. So that means we have to put some effort into this. You know, we have to strive for this. What is, well, why do I have to strive for it? I thought I was saved. Yes, you are. But do you want to participate in all that He has for you? Seek first all of His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all things taken together will be given you besides. Put Him first. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. You know, Pastor said recently, and this is something that Carlos and I will always ask each other, faced with a decision, faced with any kind of situation in your life, it's what does the Word say? Because that's our measuring rod. What does the Word say? Because I want to live. I've made a decision. And I know you all have. And if you haven't, you can do that today. I've made a decision that He is final authority. The Word of God is final authority in my life. I may miss it, but I get back up and I keep aiming and striving to seek Him first, to put Him first. So our part is to consecrate ourselves to Him. That's what seeking Him first means. I'm going to put you first. And then it says His way of doing and being right. What does that mean? It means doing the Word. I got to know what doing and being right is. And the Word is what reveals it to us. And so we come to church to hear the Word so that we can go home and pick up the Word again and go over and meditate and drive down the truths of the Word in us. You know, I have to chuckle at, you know, what Brother Juan said, because when he came here, he thought he knew everything. And many of us did. But then we got here, you know, and the class is a wonderful class, but even in service, it's like, oh my goodness. Our eyes are open. It's like, wow. That's God. And you know what? That'll continue on and on and on throughout eternity. And isn't it fun? We, you know, just recently we were praying about something and it just seemed nothing, nothing, nothing. And it was a struggle. And then all of a sudden in prayer one night, there it was. And it was a joy. It was an absolute joy. And we had to laugh because God is so simple. You know, I think he was laughing at us because we want to complicate it. And it's the simplicity of the way God does things. He doesn't think like we do. But he's gracious enough to work with us, help us. So we renew our minds to God's thinking, to God's doing through renewing our mind in the Word of God. We seek him first through fellowship with him. How do you fellowship with God? There's lots of ways. You know, we were fellowshipping with God during praise and worship right now. We were entering in. We were receiving from the Word. We were participating. We were engaging and lifting holy hands to heaven. That's fellowship. Then you can take that home and practice it at home. And you can sing and no one will hear you. One day I was out for a walk. And that's when I just get into psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I mean, not all the time, but I was busting it out that day. I was worshiping God, and I thought no one was on the trail. No one was there. Because I was caught up. You know, you get in the presence of God, and you're just, oh, you're so good. I love you. I worship you. And you know, we're to practice. And I come around this corner, and I don't know, I just thought I was alone, and this couple, here's this couple, and they're kind of chuckling, and we enjoy your singing. And I thought, you know what? You're right. Because I was giving glory to God. They got blessed. It was a joyful noise. No, I'm getting better at it. So what will be given to us? Okay, if I seek God first, I'm looking at this from, you know, a logical mental mind. If I seek God first, he says all these things will be added unto you. What are those things? Jesus said, what you have need of? Yes. But better than that, your greatest need is revelation. Yes. If I seek him first, if I take time to fellowship, to consecrate myself, the Word of God will open up to me. And everything I need will be laid out before me. Do I take this job? Do I not take this job? Do I buy this house? Do I not? Do I, you know, just all those decisions. When we seek him first, what is added back to me is whatever I need at that time. It can be finances. It can be health. It can be freedom from sin. You know, sin that we struggle with and finally we've overcome. You know, remember, faith is a progression. Renewing our mind is a progression. So we take steps. I don't look the same today. I've grown and developed than I did a year ago. Maybe even than I did last week. So whatever it is you need, some of the things I wrote down, revelation of God and who I am in him. Who are we in Christ? That's the greatest, one of the greatest needs in the body of Christ. You know, we've been hearing about dominion. Do we walk in that? No, we need to work on walking in that. We need revelation on how to take those steps. The sharing together with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit. The communion with him. Just, you know, I've really been doing more of that lately, just... Father, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to worship you. I just want to say, tell you how marvelous you are, how much I love you. You're just amazing to me. And to try to even find words to express that. I'm going somewhere. Our natural needs are met abundantly. And our natural needs are met in ways that we could never do on our own. That's what's so fun. It's, okay, I receive that. I receive that. Partnership. We're in partnership with God. We're laborers together with him. So we know where our place is and where we're to put our hand. He'll bless what we put our hand to. So that means we need to put our hand to something. We need to be in health ministry. You know, it's not just, you know, baking a cake and bringing it once in a while. It's, I want to put my hand to something because that's where the blessing is. And when pastor gets up and says, you know, or Brother Juan gets up and says, we need help in this area. If you have that unction, I'm saying in your spirit, if you have some gifts and talents in maintenance, you know, it's like, I remember way back when all we had in this church, in our old building, was Pastor Tim would get up and say, well, we need help in the children's nursery. That was the only, because we were brand new. And he did it for about 3 weeks and we were new to the church. And I just looked at Carlos and I said, I think we're supposed to serve in the nursery. Hey, you know, because we were very new and we went to him and he said, well, thank you so much. And Pastor Dan was so gracious. He says, if you find it doesn't fit for you, you just let us know. Well, we knew that's not an option. We put our hand to where God needs the help. And they need help in the nursery. So, you know, and then a few years later, we graduated onto the children's church, which we really, that was what was in our heart. But we didn't say that. Well, I really want to work over here. It's where do you need the help? That was a rabbit trail. So, how do we fellowship with God? Colossians 3, 15 through 17. I'm not going to get through all this today. I can tell right now. Colossians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. This is talking about you. Let the word, let the peace of God, well, how do I do that? Here we go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word. You get the word in, and it pushes out fear, depression, oppression, sickness and disease. Your thinking changes. Let the word of God. So that's where fellowship starts, is with the word. Start with the word. Find out who God is. Find out what he says. You know, and don't start in Genesis. Start in the age that we live in. Start in the epistles. And anybody here can help you if you need more understanding. I'm not saying we go back and we look at that, but start where we're at today. Go back and listen to services. You know, I want to understand more about the local church. It's all available. Or I really like that service, you know, that pastor preached on Sunday, and I want to, well, go back and listen to it again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So we let the word of God dwell in us richly, and as a result, there's a flow that comes out. You cannot fill up on the word and it not come out. It is not possible. I gotta talk to somebody. Even if I have to call Ethan here. Okay, did you hear what Pastor said last night? Oh, wasn't that awesome? Okay, and then, you know, and you just start going. And, you know, we get a fire burning within us. Maya and I will get on this, and it's just like, it's just so exciting. It's just so good. And we're to be nourished up in the Word of God. That's fellowshipping. When we fellowship with two things, we're to fellowship with the Father, and we're to fellowship with one another around the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the more we do it, and you can fellowship around the word while you're serving. It's not like, okay, we've got to set this time aside and schedule it. And no, just in your every, when you come to church on Wednesday night, after service, and I know we're all good about that, but fellowship with God is filling our lives with what truly fulfills us and satisfies the longing of our heart. This is what Pastor Jay said in his blog on joy of fellowship. And I think that was like week four. But it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is, this is Pastor, it is the greatest privilege of every believer to fellowship with God. Yes. It's a privilege. Yes. It's an honor. Yes. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes, it says to obtain, but sometimes let's just go and say, I'm here. I love you. I just want to be in your presence. You got something you want to say, Lord? I'm right here. It's a summons within the heart of every believer to fellowship with God. The word fellowship in the original Greek means to share something in common with another. The summons inside the believer is to come and share in, partake of, and enjoy what is on the inside of God. Yes. Don't you want to know? Yeah. Yeah. What's in God? What does he have to say? What's on his heart? Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes he gives you pieces of the future. Sometimes he, you know, it can be, he individualizes it because he knows everything about us. Yes. Yeah. So during that fellowship, there's different ways. You can just be worshiping him, fellowshipping with him. And then he says, hey, you know that thing you were talking to me about that the other day? But you know, it pleases him. He loves it. Yes. We were created to fellowship with him. That's next coming up here. Our duty, which is also revealed in Genesis, is to take dominion here on the earth. But our responsibility will only be carried out with joy if they spring from rich fellowship with God. That's a big point I wanted to get to. That the things that we're about in the church, and the things that God has called us to do, and the departments he's called us to serve in, will only please God, will only be fulfilled, and it comes out of that fellowship with God. When we come and we're excited and we're hungry and we're looking forward to the services and we're wanting to excel and do our best in our helps ministry, we know where you've been. You've been in the presence of God. Because the local church is super important to God. Yes. Last great move of God will take place in the local churches. Genesis 1:26, God says, well, let me back up. We were created to fellowship with God. He longs for fellowship with you. Every single person in here, he's got things to say to you. But you know what? He just wants to spend some time with you. He just wants to love on you. It says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over what? All the earth. We are spirit beings. We were created in his image, and we have dominion over our mind and over our body. Those are the first two things we need to learn. I'm in charge. I tell my body what to do. I tell my body what to eat. My appetites, sometimes I don't always do so well, but we work on it. Thank God for mercy. And I tell my mind what to think on. We have dominion over fear, sickness, lack, sin, oppression, our future, our decisions, over the nation we live in. When we walk in dominion, we walk with God. We are to do things like God. We are spiritual beings. You know, people, what? You think you're God? Well, Genesis 1:26. Let us create man in our image, our likeness, and let them have dominion. We are to do things like God. If you need something, you call for it. Redemption bought back your authority. God created us to fellowship with him. He desires a place of fellowship in your life. If that fellowship is his great plan for us, that fellowship is his plan for us individually and corporately. Amen. Individually, there's two kinds of fellowship. Individually, and if you're not fellowshipping with God on your own, you won't have as much to bring. Now, people who are young in the things of God, we understand that. We receive that. We accept that. We encourage them to get in and sit right between these two right here. Sit on the front row. Because that will splash over. That's why the corporate fellowship is important. Corporately, the anointing is the strongest. Get in the midst of the believers. If you're dealing with sickness and disease, you need to get right here. up front, close, and I'm not necessarily saying the front row, but get where that spirit of faith is.
Yes.
And then have that fellowship so that you have something to bring to someone else that might need it. We're a family. That's what family does. Psalm 16, verse 11. You know, it's a joy to get to know God. It's a joy to spend time with Him. You know, nothing against my husband. I love him dearly, but, you know, he's out of town. And it was like, oh, yeah, I got the house all to myself. When are you going to be back, honey? 5 days? Okay. I'm going to get everything cleaned up and get ready, and then I can... It's just me and God and the dog. But you know what? We should have that thinking. And it's not that we don't fellowship, but there's that time and that place where everything is quiet. There's no one getting up. There's just the less movement. And so, yes, I love my husband. But to desire that says a lot about your heart.
That's right.
To seek that says a lot about those times that you're hungry. There should be a hunger and a desire in every single one of us to know Him better.
Yes.
So, Psalm 16:11, Thou shalt show me the plan, the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou shalt show me the path of life. How does He show us? Number one, His Word. But number two, we have to go to Him with His Word so He can give the specifics. And there is fullness of joy. When we get the clarity, when we get the plan, when we get the understanding. Okay, this is what we're to do. You have to draw from the Word by hearing the Word and being in His presence. When we come to church, that corporate anointing brings us into His presence. We felt that. Just in praise and worship. That's just that, like the tune-up, so that our hearts are open and ready to receive what Pastor has to say to us. When you spend time with Him, your joy will flourish. And joy is a weapon. It's a weapon against the enemy. He hates it. Because in joy there's peace. And Jesus says, I leave you my peace. I bequeath it to you. Do not be anxious about anything. That's a command. That's not, oh, okay, but I better worry about this. No. In peace. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. That no power of the enemy can touch me. Well, you don't know what's going on out there. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on in the secret place of the Most High God. All the more that we need to live in the secret place of the Most High God. I am going to skip through some things because there's something that I want to get to that was just, it's on my heart. Pastor Jay, after Jim, the Sunday after Jim, this has been stirring in my heart. I went home and wept over this service, and I'm going to try not to now. But it was so precious because he started out saying increases with the increase of God. There is an increase with God, which means there's an increase with man. I'm going to read you some. I typed this out, not all of it, but most of it. The increase of God comes from the head, Jesus, the head of the church, through the members of the church, the supply that they bring. And he said, camp meeting was increase. Camp meeting was increase for this local church, for this congregation. The strongest healing anointing that ever hit this church was in camp meeting. Now, I want to point out, though, it wasn't just about that Wednesday night. It was the whole service. Because had we not prepared, because I think the name of the service is Preparation Brings Increase, is... we wouldn't have had Wednesday night. The increase of God comes from the head through the members. because he's the head, we are the body. Preparation always goes before increase, and God is interested in increase. It's a fact in the Bible, before increase in any area is preceded by preparation. The preparation that you have made all these years, the Lord said this to Pastor Jay, at planting the seed and establishing the church on the word, teaching them about the move of the Spirit, demonstrating the move of the Spirit, has allowed what happened in camp meeting to happen. Preparation. And we're talking years. Years of preparation. Aren't you grateful that they are so patient to bear with us, to keep plowing ground? You know, any of you that were here from the early days, you saw that. You saw that. I remember times, you know, it was, he come in and we had the brakes on. That's not the way we do it here. But he stayed faithful. And he said this, I'm telling you, what happened Wednesday night is a big deal. I want you to remember this. I even suggest you go back and listen to this again, because this is a big deal. And for us we need to see that so that we can keep moving. Yeah. See, it's not the time to relax. Okay, wasn't that wonderful? And then we put it in the past, like all the old revivals. No, 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 no. God wants to keep moving us forward. He said, what happened Wednesday night is a big deal. In the spirit, that's a big deal. But without the preparation, we would not have had that. It doesn't happen willy-nilly. The move of God does not happen just because it happened. It's not, God doesn't just say, poof, and there it is. Preparation was made. He gave Noah instruction to build the ark. Yes. And it took him 100 years. Yes. And he had a lot of naysayers laughing at him. But he obeyed God. Yes. And mankind was saved. Yes. And then he says, and that's only the beginning of some things. We will see a service before we leave this building that will wheelchair stacked up in the back. God showed him that years ago. Because of such a move of the Spirit, it's going to get the city's attention. Camp meeting was increased. We were able to receive that move of God because of the preparation that we made. And he said two areas, helps ministry and unity. And you need to pay attention to those. Helps ministry and unity. I love it. God wants to use corporate groups. We didn't hear a wind, but it was a wave. And it was wave after wave after wave. He wants to use congregations, and he wants to use this congregation. He said, I could just tell there was something about the meeting. People just joyfully jumping in and bringing their supply. You know what? That says you've been fellowshipping with God. You've been fellowshipping with God. You've been seeking him first. The unity that has formed around the move of the Spirit, which is based on the word that created the right atmosphere, that prepared this congregation for this kind of thing. I'm here to say that's just the beginning. And she said, and he said, Pastor Nancy thanked us for preparing a place where healing could move like this in the city. Pastor Nancy thanked us. That wasn't Pastor Nancy talking. She was just the mouthpiece. That was the head of the church talking to this congregation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. That came out of the heart of God. He was pleased. The glory didn't come in here. Jesus himself came in here and inspected the troops. I believe he was pleased with what he saw. That doesn't mean that we have issues going on in our lives. We all have areas. But he was pleased with the unity. He was pleased with the corporate house. Don't think God is pleased when nothing happens. When God is pleased, he manifests himself. We need to pay attention to these things he's saying. There will be activity where God shows up and he shows out. It's honoring him, and that pleases him. It's him honoring us for the fact that we as a congregation were interested. We were interested in gym. We were interested in camp meeting. We showed up with joy. We were excited. We were in our helps ministry and serving and you know, whatever it takes, whatever we need to do. You know, we got things done before camp meeting. We cleared our schedule because we desired something. You know what it was? A move of God, a word from God. To honor the men and women of God who came, Pastor Nancy and Reverend Ike, and then all the ministers who came. We wanted to honor them. We wanted to create an atmosphere where God was honored. God was welcome. We as a congregation honor the Spirit to have His way and use our faith for a move of the Spirit. He honors the unity of our heart for His plan and the unity of our faith for His plan. Not the plan of man, not modern churchologies, not the latest move, not the latest music, not the latest, you know, prophecy. You know, there's just a lot of things going on out there. And, you know, if anything, you start listening to it, you can, I've gotten keen to picking up a spirit of fear, you know, about what's going on. It's like, we don't live there. We don't have to live there. Our eyes are on You, Lord. Our eyes, we don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on You, and You will show us because You are faithful. This congregation is going to the next phase of God's plan, another phase of the anointing. So that's what I wanted to say. We need to be ready. We need to be continuing to press in, continuing to fellowship with God, continuing to consecrate ourselves. It's a lifestyle. The prayer of consecration is not a one-time prayer. It's an everyday prayer. Thank You, Father, for this day. Yes. It is Yours. Have Your way. Use me. Let me be a vessel unto honor, however You see fit. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses, he was interested. And he turned to look. And God used him mightily because he was interested. And then he says, this isn't Pastor Jay talking. This is what God spoke to me last night. He says, I'm encouraging you. You're a part of forming this house, and you've cooperated in forming this house. You've turned aside from a lot of natural things to see this move of God. You see this burning fire. God sees your interest. Now God is saying, I see their interest. Now I am going to take them to the next phase. So that's pretty much... that's pretty much what he, I mean, there's more here, but what I wanted to point out was we were interested. And God is watching because He can't move where He's not welcome. And that comes through fellowship with Him, consecrating yourself to Him, saying, God, I desire Your plan for my life. I desire what You have for me. I may have my own plans, but you know what? I'm going to lay those aside, and I'm going to follow You. And you know, most of the time, if those are good plans, those things maybe He put in your heart. But He'll say, seek Me first. Put Me first. You know, and many of us have had to pay some prices for that. Many of us, some of us have had to leave family members to follow God. Don't think that doesn't go unnoticed. To be a part of this corporate family. You know, so He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Spend time with Him and your joy will flourish. He wants us to have a life of joy. And listen, you may not think it is joy. You mean I have to come on Sunday and Wednesday? What? And now you want me to help in helps ministry? You know, you might feel those feelings because maybe we all did at some point. But just recognize, no, wait a minute, I need this more. I'm just going to crucify my flesh and I'm going to show up. Because listen, how badly do you want to grow out of some things? How badly? Those that come on Sunday and Wednesday get more. They advance more quickly. Yeah. It's not that God's withholding. It's just that you're not. You got to show up to the place where the anointing is feeding you.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I miss a Wednesday night, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm backslid. Not really, but you know, I miss it. I miss it. Oh my gosh, I don't like missing a service. Ephesians 2:10. It says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life." Because you know what? Let's be honest. We all want a good life, right? Amen. I don't know anybody that wants a bad life. Well, this is how you get the good life. Yes. He has predestined, planned a path for us to walk in, taking paths that are good, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Well, that tells me one thing. I got to find out what that is.
That's right.
See, that's my part.
Yeah.
And where do I find that out? Thank you, Father. I'm just so glad to be here. Take the word into your time with fellowship with God. And when you start reading through the scriptures and he takes you from one scripture to the next, he starts talking. He starts talking. And you'll get, as you get skilled, you'll be able to discern the difference between this and the Holy Spirit. That's a big deal. And, you know, the younger ones, sometimes they need help, and there's nothing wrong with them, you know, bouncing it off someone. You got to follow what's in your heart. And it takes, we've all had to learn, what do you mean what's in my heart? You know, that's an organ. It keeps me alive. Seriously, we need to learn those things. And as we spend time with him, speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, praying in other tongues, worshiping him, just talking things over with him, we'll become spiritually sensitive and we'll begin to recognize, oh, the Holy Spirit said that. The Holy Spirit said that. That's what we'll need to continue to press into in this day. So that we are positioned to facilitate a mighty move of God. And there's others. It's not just about us. You all understand that Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie have an anointing on their life to raise up young ones to go out. Remember the three things? Planting of churches, traveling ministry, and social media. Those are all sending areas. We send. This is a base church. This is a sending center. It's like the army. So we need to have a place where they can come and be nourished up and learn the word and the move of the Spirit. So we need them both. And we're having them. This is what we need to be reaching for. This is one of the purposes of this local church, is raising up men and women of God. Where do you go and hear what we hear? I don't know, because I'm here. But I don't think it's commonplace, because, you know, as soon as you start talking about crucifying the flesh, that's a good thing. So, in order to achieve this, in order to keep that move and that corporate anointing, it's like, okay, we have a service on Sunday and Wednesday. So let's desire, let's hunger. God, I want the highest and the best. I want the fullness. You know, Wednesday nights, we're so much better at this. It's, you know, because we're all busy and we got a busy day, and sometimes you're just running to get here. But it's just a simple thing. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I get to go to church tonight. I get to hear. It's just a click in your spirit. That's all it is. Oh, I'm so tired. Well, hey, the anointing will wake you up real quick. But you got to do your part. You got to come and you got to participate. You got to say, that's my answer. I'll take it. It's mine. Then you got to go out and you got to do it. It's the doers of the word that God can use. Okay, how much time do I have? Oh, I'm pretty good. But you are invited to participate, to share and commune with all that God is. Healing is in his presence. Provision is in his presence. Freedom from sin is in his presence.
Yeah.
You got to show up.
That's right. Yeah.
You got to show up and be in his presence. And the local church, he set this.
Yeah.
This is his idea.
Yeah.
It's not man's idea.
Right.
I get into His presence. I get to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's what I'm called for. It's what I'm called. Well, I'm called just to live in the presence of God. No, you're called to more. But seek ye first. You're called to fellowship with God. That should be the name of this. Called to fellowship with God. You're called. And that's why I really, really, really encourage you. Use the blogs as a meditation. I can't get through one without, because I got to go to all the scriptures, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's so good. I never saw that before.
Yeah.
That's revelation.
Yes.
Get up every morning. Read the blog. Get up on Tuesday morning. Oh, it's out. Okay, then get up on Wednesday. I'm going to read it again.
Yeah.
This is manna from heaven that comes through our pastor who is anointed to speak and minister into our lives.
Yes.
It's of great value. And when we value that, God sees that and He says, I want to bless them. I want to show up and show myself strong on their behalf.
Yes.
It's how He set things in order. In his presence is an equipping. This is an equipping place for the ministry. Well, I'm not called. You still need to be equipped. You need to be equipped to serve.
That's right.
You need to be trained up.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, I remember the first night of Bible school, Pastor, oh man, it was a... You're in the army now. You're in the army now. Remember that? Yes, sir. But you think about it. We are... We're in the army of God, though. Where do you think they developed the armed forces in this nation? It all came from the Word of God, because the nation is founded on godly principles. Praise the Lord. The things of the Word and the Spirit are what's going to satisfy you. So, again, Pastor Jay's blog. 2 Corinthians 13. I just pulled out a few tiny little things. I'm just telling you. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen, so be it. That's a lot. The grace, God's ability, favor, spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship and communion, sharing together and participation. That's what He made us for. He desires this. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, they hid themselves, and God comes looking, saying, where are you? I miss you. What? And then it was like, okay, they sinned, which He knew anyway, but then He said, but this is the thing. He had a plan. Because He desires to fellowship with you. He loves us. He had a plan. He gave His Son, His greatest, His most precious thing, His Son, to pay the price. Meditate on that. Hallelujah. Okay. And the glory of the Lord has been given to us. And, you know, let's go to Psalm 133:1. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm just excited about this. This has just been stirring. God wants to use this congregation. He said it. He wants to use us mightily. He wants to put on a show. You know, where God finds a place that welcomes Him and that He's welcome to come, He'll show up and He'll manifest, which He did. But you know what? He's found this place, which means He's going to show up again if we continue. He's going to show up and He's going to manifest. He desires to manifest Himself. So it says in Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There is a place of unity. There is a place of unity. It's like the precious ointment, the anointing. It's the place where the anointing can freely flow. And people's needs can be met. People can be healed. People can be set free. They come in this building and they walk into the peace of God. And it's like, what is that? I want that. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue, and how we do that is beginning with seek ye first. Put God first. Let's walk in unity. That's how we walk in unity. When we're fellowshipping in the Word and the Spirit on our own, we come to church, and that unity is really an easy flow. When we do that together, the power of God can manifest. It's not all up to pastors. It is not all... No way. It takes a... It's an exchange. It's an exchange. And we've witnessed that in the past years where he was pulling because we weren't. And he was trying to pull us out of the pit that we were in. And I mean, I'm not... There's no condemnation. It's just, you know, God sent a man. This is a visitation from God. We got double. We got Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie. And it's because of the work that God wants to do here. We need both of them. We need both the anointings. So, the glory has been given to us, but it requires our response. It requires us to be willing to respond to the call. The Lord Jesus has invited us, just as we saw in the scripture, to come to fellowship with him. And I want to encourage you to be doing that at home. And I'm not saying you have to take hours on end. It's a simple thing. You know, Pastor Nancy, and I've always remembered, she says, start your day in the Spirit. And then throughout the day, just be checking in. Just be checking in. Just be checking in. And obviously we have times when we can set apart and delve further into things. But, you know, if the devil can't get you coming at you, he'll get behind you and he'll push you. And he'll make you busy, busy, busy. That's not God's will. But we are to be about kingdom business. So we have to know by the Spirit. Oh, okay, I need to maybe... Not my helps ministry, but maybe going out and doing this hobby thing. I don't know. Whatever. It's between you and God. What's God saying to you? And but the greater benefit is to be in his presence. And there's ones that God wants to send us to help, to raise up, to train, that we want to be ready to help with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm almost done here. We as believers have a lot to do with how the Spirit of God moves in a service. We create the atmosphere. I'm talking every service, not just meetings. We create an atmosphere in which the Holy Ghost can freely move and have his way. And 2 Thessalonians says, Lord, that the word of the Lord may have free course. That's what we desire. And when we come right, he has free course. Yes.
Amen.
And it's just as simple, like I said, it's a right heart. Pastor Jay spoke at Jim. He just had a word. I can't remember. It was Thursday morning, I believe. But he said, by the Spirit, he says, know this, the church is still in charge. I want to remind you of that. Because we look at what's going on out there. No, no, wait. We have dominion. We have dominion over every evil work of the enemy. So we've been hearing a lot about our authority and our dominion and revelation for this era to walk in it. It's because we need it. Because the world needs it. We can stop the forces of darkness. Remember when Frame was here? And by the Spirit of God, he took authority over that economic spirit that was trying to come against Wall Street? Next day, things turned. Now, I'm not saying that everything is like that. It's we had the prophet of God in the place, and he was able to move. But he says, know this, the church is still in charge. The church is still boss. Let not your heart be troubled, and don't let your feelings deceive you. Don't let your feelings. but walk in the light and be a doer of what you know, and then the Holy Ghost will take you on to more glory and greater things of the Spirit that you so long for. But go through the door that's been prepared, that I've laid before you in the Spirit, and see the glory of God. Go through the door of fellowshipping with God. That's what he said. Fellowship with God is preparation for what he has for us. Preparation for what he has for us. Fellowshipping with God is preparation for what he has for us. Are we all on the same page? We all want what God has for us? Fellowshipping. Individually, with each other, corporately. Go through the door of fellowshipping with God. It is preparation for what he has for us. Without us putting him first, things in order. God's a God of order. And fellowshipping with him will not walk in all the fullness he has for us. But it doesn't mean that we stop attending to natural things. It means that we become more skilled. See, because when we go from glory to glory, we become more skilled. We become more accurate. Teresa knows this because she just works tirelessly to train us. We become better at what we do, so it's an easy flow. It's an easy flow. So, you know, come and be eager. Okay, I want to learn. I want to get skilled at this. I want to be better at this. Because then you don't get all, you know, condemnation comes, maybe you missed it, and the devil just tried, you know, don't let him open his toolbox of condemnation with the hammer in it. Right. Like Pastor Debbie says, what does she go? Shh, shh, shh. Yeah. I love that. She has such good word pictures. But, you know, because the devil will try to come and beat you up. And then he says, you know, I think God's moving you on. God is all about increase. He is all about increase. And so take this to heart. God wants to use corporate groups of believers where we come together in one accord. And there is wave after wave after wave. He wants to use ministers like Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie. But he wants to use congregations. This is Pastor Jay speaking. And he wants to use this one. He wants to use this congregation. And that begins with Matthew 6:33. Putting him first. And, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and we all do, but we need these reminders, and we need to remember what he said. He's pleased. We had a move of God because we prepared. Let's keep, you know, he said, be encouraged. Be encouraged. We're getting better. We're becoming more skilled. We're becoming more skilled at the things of the natural things, but we're becoming more skilled at the spiritual.
Right.
So that we can facilitate a move of God that we have not seen before. And we have some meetings coming. We have Reverend Joel Siegel. Don't think, oh yeah, that's just Jim. See, put on the brakes and change your thinking. It's a visitation from God. And with that comes pieces and equipment and impartations, things that we need to continue in the plan of God. Because pastors don't just have people come in just because it's like a good idea. There's a specific targeted plan for that visitation. So we need to pray about those. We need to be ready, just same as you prepare for a camp meeting. Get your laundry done, whatever you need, because you know it's 2 days. But get things in order so that when you come, you're like, okay, what do you got? What do you need me to bring? I can bring something. I can bring a supply. So, we'll close with Ephesians 5:17. And while you're going there, I want to read. Kenneth Hagin said this in his book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. Let me get there. I'm just going to... Are you getting this?
Yes, ma'am.
I know it's just, this is part of what how I help is I go over what's been said and regurgitate it like the cow. Bring it back up. Chew it some more. Bring it back up. Well, you know, it's reality. And that's what we really do when we come to church and we hear the word and we get the assignments. And we got to hear it again. We got to hear it again. And then we talk to someone at church about it. Wasn't that good? And you know, Carlos and I will talk about it, and he'll get a view on it that I didn't have, and we can fellowship together around the things of God, around the assignments that are given to this church. So Kenneth Hagin said this, and I'm going to bring this up because, well, let's read the scripture first. It says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And how am I going to be filled? "Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God, in the honor of God, walking in love." So speaking to you, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been doing it or you let it slip and you say, "Well, I can't sing," because that's what I used to say, sing anyway. Sing anyway. He's not looking at your ability of your vocal cords. Just sing. Just worship. Open your mouth. Open your... "Oh, I can't. I give him praise inside." Well, God can't really hear that because he said in his word, speaking. Speaking. "At thy word, Lord," you said, "speaking to myself." So you don't have to have anybody around. And then when we come in corporately, there may be times where things come up and during the time of worship. That's a move of the Spirit. The Spirit starts moving in you and you start flowing with that. And we need to become skilled at that. So Kenneth Hagin says this, "The benefits of speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are great. First, it enables us to have a true communion with God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is also a means of spiritual edification." You know, do you ever leave a time of worshiping God and singing and making melody in your heart to Him coming away really depressed? No, we're edified. There's peace. There's this joy, you know? And so he says, "We stay encouraged and built up in the Lord. Finally, it's a means of keeping us separated from the world. It causes us to be conscious of our indwelling presence. And if we're conscious that He is living in us, it is bound to affect the way we live." See, again, it's that, why do we do this? Fellowshipping with the Father. You know, Jesus always spent time with the Lord. And what did He do? His Father. "I only do what I see my Father doing." Yes. Well, that came from fellowship with His Father. And the doing was the miraculous. The teaching and preaching of the Word. And the healing of the sick. And the signs and wonders. Well, aren't we supposed to be doing that? The Great Commission. So speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you begin to practice this, go back and pull up the blog. Because, you know, they're going to start really piling up. And I don't like that when it starts, you know, like, okay, the book of the month and you're still on, you know, rich, and now we're on richer and it's almost the end of the month. Anybody been there? So start where you're at and just use it as a tool to meditate. I'm telling you, I get in the presence of God just reading them. Praise God. What a gift. These are Pastor Jay's personal words from God, personal instruction, personal teachings. Well, yeah, but I thought he teaches from the pulpit. Yeah, he does. But now we have another benefit of it. But there's no stories in those. No animation. So 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him." See, we don't have to be perfect.
Nope.
We just have to have a heart that desires Him, that wants all He has for us. God is looking for those who will steward a vision from heaven. This is what pastors say. Steward a vision from heaven so His plans and purposes can be fulfilled. We have come again to a pivotal season in God's plan. The time of the last great outpouring of the Spirit, He again is calling ordinary people like us, like Mary, like Moses, like Noah, ordinary people to know His plan and steward it in the earth by acts of obedience and faith. See, you can glean so much when you attend. So we are to be rejoicing. We are to be speaking. We are to recognize our dominion. We are to take services and meditate on them. Take those and call somebody and say, oh my gosh, I just love this. Well, don't be calling everybody just because I said that. But, you know, let it be. No, but you know, when you fellowship with people, you know, we talk about this and that and everything, but let's step up talking about, did you hear what Pastor said? I long for that. Because you got a view of it, maybe I didn't, and together it will help us. Let's be excited about it. I guess that's what I'm saying. Let's be excited that God is pleased, that gem was increased, and we're in a new phase. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing. Does that mean every day is a joy and, you know, I don't have any tests or tribulations? No. Sometimes you have more. But we are so blessed to have our pastors teach us faithfully, and keep bringing us back. They're a man and woman of the Word and the Spirit. And so, and you know, any of us that has been here for any length of time knows they're faithful.
Amen.
They're trustworthy. Remember Dr. Dufresne said, you'll be called Mr. Honest, Mr. Integrity, and Mr. Solid. And that's true. And then he said that people will come, and I think he said all over the world. They'll come from all over the world to see how you run things, see how you do things. Well, that's just not, they want to see how we run the daycare or the health. They want to see the move of God. They want to see, how did you do this? So, Words is so blessed that God has called us to this place to be a part of this great move of God. So, Father, we just thank You and praise You. We give You glory. Father, we say we consecrate ourselves to You this morning. Oh, Father, You're so good. And we're so grateful that You showed up. We're so grateful for the preparation through the teaching and preaching of our pastors. Through us showing up and saying, what can I do? I want to be a part of this. But Father, we recognize that there's more. Pastor said it's only the beginning of what You have for us. So we thank You. We consecrate ourselves. We say we are with You. We are with Pastor Jay and Pastor Debbie. And we say, do all that is in Your heart. And we'll do our part. And we'll bring our supply. We give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Shelley, can I minister to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody that needs hands laid on them, if you could quickly come forward. Whew. The healing anointing is... Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you.
Thank you.
completely subsides. And that nerve just is mended back together. The devil tries to attack our bodies, but we have to remember that he does not have a legal right to stay. It is our authority and it's our dominion that we take a stand. And you'll find, and I found this with myself, as I grew and developed in standing in faith for my healing, there was less attacks because my spirit was strong. And so when those things showed up, and they still do, you answer it. And you command it to go. So praise God.